Continuing on with that theme, we consider then the book of Nehemiah, although we'll be looking at Thanksgiving in a macro sense. We start with the book of Nehemiah. We consider Nehemiah chapter 12, verses 46 and 47. What's going on here is the wall has been built. We're at the tail end of the book of Nehemiah. And if you know the story of Nehemiah, part of what they were doing is building up the wall in order to have a defense system. Nehemiah should always be read in conjunction with the book of Ezra. Anyway, they've completed this wall. And now they're talking about the dedication of the wall. It starts at verse 27. And then they get to temple responsibilities as listed in 44. And so we're going to read 44 through 47. But as I said, we'll be considering other scripture today as well. And at the same time, some were appointed over the rooms of the storehouses for the offerings, the first fruits and the tithes, to gather them in from the fields of the cities, the portions specified by the law for the priests and Levites. For Judah rejoiced over the priests and Levites who ministered. Both the singers and the gatekeepers kept charge of their God and the charge of the purification, according to the command of David and Solomon his son. For in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chiefs of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving to God. In the days of Zerubbabel and in the days of Nehemiah, all Israel gave their portions to the singers and gatekeepers, a portion for each day. They also consecrated holy things to the Levites, and the Levites consecrated them for the children of Aaron. Father, we thank you that we find in the Old Testament that you set apart people to lead your people in thanksgiving. We pray, Father, that as we consider this text and other texts, that you would begin to build within us a crescendo towards thanksgiving that would find itself echoing every day throughout the year. Forgive us, Father, for being a people who are characterized as being less than thankful at times. Pray, Father, that our lives would be more characterized by being thankful to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thanksgiving was so emphasized and articulated throughout the Scriptures and in the Old Testament that there is even a thank offering in Scripture that comes together with vows and free will offerings. In God's Old Testament economy then, there was a presentation of a thank offering, and this was done by way of animal sacrifice. For example, in Leviticus, we read that this was accompanied by wafers and cakes. Starting in verse 12 of chapter 7 of Leviticus, if they offer it as an expression of thankfulness, that is this offering we're talking about, then along with this thank offering, they are offered thick loaves made without yeast and with olive mixed in, thin loaves made without yeast and brushed with oil, and thick loaves of the finest flour well kneaded and with oil mixed in. Along with their fellowship offering of thanksgiving, they had to present an offering with thick loaves of bread made with yeast. And in this thanksgiving offering, the priest would share in the meal that was brought. So what we find is that this idea of thankfulness finds itself woven in and institutionalized in the life of Israel through this idea of thank offerings that were often given. There were reasons in the Old Testament that these thanks offerings were given. A couple of reasons we set forth here is the thanks offerings were often offered up for deliverance from distress, death, or sickness. We're going to read a passage in a second that shows that. This deliverance from the sickness was often the context in which one came and gave thanks offering. So when one had been in a tight spot, when one had been in peril, if God brought them through that, then what they would often commonly do is that they would turn and give God thanks. We think you see an example of that in Psalm 107. They loathed all food, this is the psalmist, and drew near the gates of death. And they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress, and he sent out his word and he healed them, he rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love, and let his wonderful deeds be known to mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. And so we find in the Old Testament again this idea of thankfulness being pushed upon the people to remind them of God's mercy and grace towards them in every situation and trial and circumstance of life. We should then pause here to note that in light of the thank offering being offered up in gratitude for this deliverance from distress and sickness and death, The life of the Christian itself should be a constant thank offering. The life of a Christian should be a constant thank offering in the context of this Old Testament idea of giving thanks offering for deliverance and distress and death. And why is that? Because all of our life is a proclamation once we're in Christ that we likewise have been what? Delivered. We've been delivered from distress. We've been delivered from the sickness that comes with sin. And we've been delivered from eternal death. And so this is even more of a reason for the New Testament Christian, because of the finished work of Christ, this is even more of a reason for our lives to be characterized as thankfulness, as a walking expression of thanksgiving to God for all that He's provided us in Christ. I've said this countless times, but I'll say it again here, that no matter what might drop into our life by way of God's providence, by way of His severe mercy, no matter what may drop in our lives in that way, it's still the case that we are God's redeemed people, that Christ has paid for the penalty of our sin, that we've been delivered from our sickness and our distress, we've been delivered from eternal death, and for that reason, we can live a life of thanks, of gratitude, of praise to God. The first reason I gave that they offered thanks offerings in the Old Testament was for this deliverance we talked about. They were in a tight spot, they were ill, their enemies were going to come upon them, and they thought they were nigh unto death, but God delivered them, so they offered thanks offerings. Another reason that they offered thank offerings in the Old Testament, it was at times of religious renewal. And so, true religion had fallen, had ebbed. People were no longer living out their relationship and their standing before God. And God sends religious renewal. And as a consequence of that, what would commonly be done is this gathering of God's people to offer thanks. We find that in 2 Chronicles 29 during Hezekiah's reformation. We find it when the wicked King Manasseh repents in 2 Chronicles 33. And when we read the book of Jeremiah, we find Jeremiah pining for this time of renewal so that he can bring these thank offerings. Just a couple examples again from Scripture. I already mentioned it, but let me give you the concrete examples. Hezekiah said, "You have now dedicated yourselves to the Lord. Come and bring sacrifices and thank offerings to the temple of the Lord." So the assembly brought sacrifices and thank offerings, and all whose hearts were willing brought burnt offerings. In the context of Manasseh's repentance, he got rid of the foreign gods and removed the image from the temple of the Lord, as well as all the altars he had built on the temple hill in Jerusalem, and he threw them out of the city. Then he restored the altar of the Lord, and he sacrificed fellowship offerings and thank offerings on it, and told Judah to serve the Lord, the God of Israel. So again, we find thank offerings to be part of the heart and pulse of the Old Testament sacrificial system. And of course, we understand that every offering and sacrifice points to the Lord Christ. The Lord Christ is our thank offering to God for us, that God has provided for His people. Here in this passage in Nehemiah, we read these last few verses, but in chapter 8 you find this theme continued. The Levites, and then they mention their name, together with his associates, were in charge of the songs of thanksgiving. So they had a whole group whose only responsibility and whose job was to do what? Songs of thanksgiving. To lead Israel in giving thanks to God. Again, in verse 27 of this chapter, at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, the Levites were sought out from where they lived, and they were brought to Jerusalem to celebrate joyfully the dedication with songs of thanksgiving and with the music of cymbals and harps and lyres. And so what we find here is thanksgiving now is put into connection with singing, which we'll talk about that in a bit, but it's also put into connection with joyfulness. And allow me to set forth the idea that as we can be, by God's grace, a thankful people, that goes a long way towards making us a cheerful or a joyful people. It's hard to be miserable. It's hard to mutter and complain when you're doing what? Giving thanks. Right? And so, one of the reasons that I would contend that we are to be a thankful people is, first and foremost, we have no reason not to be. But secondly, by being thankful, it chases away the inclination of the fallen heart of Adam and all of us to be miserly, to be grumpy, to be full of Krampus cheer at this Christmas season. It fills us with this disposition of kindness towards God and towards others. And it gets us off ourselves, right? Because if I'm thankful to God, who am I no longer thinking about? Myself, my situation, my circumstances. Now again, I admit, and I'm sure you agree with me, that this is easier sometimes said than done, right? Easier said than done. But if we at least have the disposition in us, if we at least have the teaching ringing about our ears, if we at least have the mindset that this is to be the mindset of Scripture that we're to have, then when those difficult times come, it makes us more inclined to say, feel it or not, I'm going to do what? Give thanks. That's right. So the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, the Levites are sought out from where they lived and were brought to Jerusalem to celebrate joyfully. The dedication was songs of thanksgiving. And he goes on, he says, later I had the leaders of Judah go up on the wall. I also assigned two large choirs. He assigned two large choirs to give thanks. Here, you're the two large choirs. I want you to do one thing. Give thanks. Again, note the emphasis that we find through Scripture. We normally think, though, and what I want to note here is we normally think of thanksgiving as being spontaneous. And it certainly is spontaneous. But here in Nehemiah and elsewhere throughout the Scripture, we find the giving of thanks being meticulously planned. They're having this worship service. They're gathering Levites from all over the place. Their responsibility, these two choirs, is to do what? To give thanks. You know that what's going on beforehand is that they're being premeditated about what they're going to do, what they're going to sing, how it is they're going to give thanks. They're planning it. They're thinking about it. It's not just spontaneous. Now again, don't misunderstand. There's nothing wrong, and I encourage frequent spontaneous outbursts of thanksgiving. But what I want to note here is that they were also meticulous and premeditated and planning on a future day to do what? To gather and give thanks. So it's good for us to be premeditated in our giving of thanks. But for those of us perhaps who are slow in our giving of thanks or not as good at it as other people, this idea of planning to give thanks is perhaps a good idea. We should be premeditated in our thanksgiving. Taking times perhaps even to write down our reasons for giving thanks. Perhaps even gathering the family around the table to note our thanks to God. Note here then that what's going on in this Nehemiah passage, if the giving of thanks is both personal and corporate. They are individually giving thanks to God, but together as God's people they're giving thanks. It's corporate. We might call this an organized thanksgiving. A time where God's people, as the covenant people, come together to give thanks to God. This is what we do during our Thanksgiving service. That's the purpose of it. It's premeditated, meticulous thanksgiving. We've come for a particular purpose. It's why it's the one service during the year that pastor opens up and says to everybody, now is your opportunity to publicly do what? Give thanks. And it warms my heart, perhaps as much as any service, to see God's people stand up and say, I thank God for this, I thank God for that, I thank God for this. You see, but it's corporate and it's also planned and premeditated. So we come to offer up thanksgiving as a people for all God's mercy and generosity. Sometimes we'll have special music, much like these choirs were set apart. Again, we're coming before God and we're saying, God, you are the one who has benefited us. You are our benefactor. We thank you, Father. We do much the same thing every week in another way. When we do our long pastoral prayer, the idea of that is corporate praying, right? Yeah, I'm the one that's praying, but the idea is that everybody is saying amen at the same time, right? And so this idea of corporately coming together as the covenant community to give thanks is something that's proper and something that we see throughout Scripture, though of course thanksgiving is personal and individual as well. Corporate thanksgiving also would include those times throughout our history when as a people we've been summoned to give thanks on set-aside days. So what I'm saying is that in this corporate thanksgiving, it's not only that which happens in the church this Wednesday evening, but it's also that which has happened in the past when we're called as a people to give thanks. Here's an example from November the 1st of 1777. For as much as it is the indispensable duty of all men to adore the superintending providence of God, to acknowledge with gratitude their obligation to Him for benefits received, and to implore such farther blessings as they stand in need of, and it having pleased Him in His abundant mercy, not only to continue to us the innumerable bounties of His common providence, but also to smile upon us in the prosecution of a just and necessary war for the defense and establishment of our inalienable rights and liberties, particularly in that He has been pleased in so great a measure to prosper the means used for the support of our troops, and to crown our arms with most signal success. It is therefore recommended to the legislative or executive powers of these United States to set apart Thursday, the 18th day of December, next for Psalm Thanksgiving and Praise, that at one time and with one voice, the good people may express the grateful feelings of their hearts. A time when people more expressly relied upon God, but again, it's an example of corporate thanksgiving. We know in verse 40 that, as I said earlier, we talk more about this idea of the musical aspect of it. The musical aspect of this premeditated corporate thanksgiving is set forth here with the choirs and all the music that they were making. Psalm 95, 2, which I read to the children, emphasizes that as well. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. It seems that throughout the Scripture, you find this connection between thanksgiving and this idea of singing thanksgiving. We find it in the New Testament as well. In Ephesians, Paul can say to the believers, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, we've already sang, and we will sing, I suppose, Wednesday songs like Wilt hiden nutriden vurgad den hir hem boven eloven van herten sir en meken groot zins lieven namens ir dinera nu onsen vision slat tenir. And Gary, I pray that you'll forgive me. This is, and Hilda too, because she might recognize that. This is We Gather Together. We Gather Together, which you probably didn't know, I didn't know until this week, was originally a Dutch hymn. And so we learn this music and we gather and we sing it. We sing, we gather together to ask the Lord's blessings. He hastens and chastens His will to make known. The wicked oppressing now cease from distressing. Sing praises to His name. He forgets not His own. And be glad I didn't do all four verses in Dutch, which I have here. All right? We gather, as we gather, we come and we sing, come, ye thankful people, come. And you do it better than I do, but raise the song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in, and the winter storms begin. God our Maker doth provide for our wants to be supplied. Come to God's own temple, come, raise the song of harvest home. We would know here that perhaps we can put in a plug for being familiar with the Psalter. Because in being familiar with the Psalter, we have songs at our fingertips that we can sing thanksgiving to God to. Well, here in Nehemiah, the circumstances for the giving of thanks was the building of this great wall. There will be times then when there are particular circumstances in which we desire to thank God. But in the New Testament, we see the call for thanksgiving not only for these grand, spectacular events like the building of the Great Wall, or in our own lives, the arrival of grandchildren, and any number of things that you might think of. In the New Testament, we're told, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all things. But the connection again between thanks and joyfulness, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Here we see that thanksgiving is not only appropriate in connection with the grand events in life, such as Nehemiah's gratitude for the rebuilding of the wall, but the giving of thanks is appropriate in all circumstances. It's interesting there in that Thessalonian passage, it's a command. We are commanded to give thanks. It's not like it's an optional quiz where you have A, B, C, and D, and giving thanks is one of the options. It's a command. We are to give thanks. And the way that the Greek reads is that we are to give thanks and continue to give thanks in all things. Again, reminding us of what I said at the outset, that we are to be a people who are characterized in our personality as a thankful people. Thankfulness is a wonderful cure and a remedy, not only for the grumps that I talked about earlier, but also for temptations towards envy and jealousy and coveting. How difficult more is it to be envious, jealous, and covetous if we are practicing what? Thanksgiving. You see, it becomes a wonderful cure for sins that we're all inclined towards. And so this disposition that colors all is this disposition of thanksgiving. It allows us to see things differently. It allows us to be delivered from those things that we're too often naturally tending towards. So this is to be our disposition that colors all. And it's to be our disposition that colors all because we belong to the sovereign God of the whole universe because of the fact that the Lord Christ has purchased us by His offering. Because of that, we can give thanks in all circumstances and all things, as Paul says here. God is doing us good all the time. And so we can give thanks to God in all circumstances. It may be, as we've noted earlier, that the giving of thanks becomes at times a matter of the will. We feel like doing anything but give thanks. And so we ask for forgiveness when our hearts are hardened to giving thanks in all circumstances. I'm reminded of a cute story that somehow that articulates what I'm trying to get at, this idea of in all circumstances. Two women met after having gone to college together years prior. They were at alumni week and they were chatting. And the conversation went something like this. I've gotten married since we last met. Oh, that's good, said her friend. Well, I don't know about that. My husband is twice as old as I am. Oh, that's bad. Well, I don't know about that. He is worth $100 million. Oh, that's good. Well, I don't know about that. He won't give me a cent. Oh, that's bad. Well, I don't know about that. He did, after all, give me a $5 million house. Oh, that's good. Well, I don't know about that. It burned down last week. Oh, that's bad. Well, I don't know about that. I mean, he was in the house. Oh, but you get the idea. We're to thank God in all circumstances. Burned down houses, $100 million husbands. In all circumstances, we're to give thanks to God because we don't know how He's what. Right, we don't know how He's playing out the theme. We haven't seen the whole picture yet, and so we can trust in His providence and do what? Give thanks. Now again, I can imagine a host of scenarios where I wouldn't want to give thanks. But again, this is a matter of the will. It's a command. We are to be a people who keep giving thanks. And I'm convinced, as many have noted before, that this is a matter sometimes of faking it till you make it, right? You keep doing, you keep doing, you keep doing, and eventually the honesty of it all catches up with it. Does that make sense? You will to do it, and perhaps you don't feel like doing it, but over the course of time, the feelings eventually follow. We're to give thanks then in all circumstances, not just when grand walls are built to defend our cities, not just when outstandingly good events come into our lives, but in all circumstances, no matter what those circumstances look like on the surface. We can always be thankful knowing that God is working for our good in everything. So in Nehemiah, they were thankful for how God had granted them grace to complete the wall. Let us resolve to be thankful in all circumstances. Those grand events that God sends into our lives and other events that are more difficult. Let us be thankful in all circumstances, knowing that God is completing His work in us and is bringing about the final product that He desires, somebody who's well sharpened and crafted for His use and His glory. Let's stand for a closing word of prayer. Father, we pray that You'd give us the disposition that colors all. Grant us grace to be able to lean on life in such a way that is pleasing to You. For us who too often are not characterized by this, we pray that You would forgive us and grant us grace to go on in thanksgiving.
Help us, Father, to not be those who mutter and complain. Help us, Father, to rest in You and trust in You in all the things that You bring into our lives. Grant us grace to be a thankful people. And where we fail in that, forgive us and grant us grace to be thankful. In Christ's name we pray.